I must confess, I thought I was only going to be with you for 2 weeks. Not that I didn't want to be, but because the first started, you know, on like a Tuesday or something, so there were three Wednesdays in that session. But that's good. We're going to talk a little about the laying on of hands. I don't know how much of it I'm going to get to. But I know the last lesson, you know, I started to move over from determinisms to fundamentals, which would lead us to doctrines. Because really, fundamentals and doctrines are the same thing. But I am going to just briefly go over determinisms because I, for me at least, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. When I discovered that word in the book by Mark Hankins, it just took off in me. And really, determinism, simply stated, is just something that you believe to be true, but true to the point where you allow it to govern and control your life. And you make all of your choices, all of your decisions, all of your moves are based on it. So if you're operating under a wrong set of determinisms, you can have some serious, not could, you will have some serious problems. And from the world, according to the psychologists and psychiatrists, and you know, they say that there are three determinisms that govern all people. One is genetic, which just means you are who you are because of your genes, and there's nothing you can do about it. The other is psychic, where you are who you are because of the way you think and what you think. And they say there's nothing you can do about that. And I love it because God says, change the way you think. God says when you're in Christ, you're a new creature, so it doesn't matter about your former DNA. And the third one that the world says, and they put a lot of emphasis, especially in recently, you know, last 5 years on this one, environmental. You are who you are because of where you are or who you are around. And I remember because this young lady, she told the story so vividly how her personality was calm and sweet and loving when she was younger. But then as she grew older and realized she lived in the projects in Jersey, you couldn't get by being sweet and nice. And so she developed this hostile personality so she could survive because of where she lived. I mean, that's... And they say you can't get away from that. And that's why, you know, this cements a belief that I've had for as long as I can remember that poverty is a mindset. You know, just because you may not have as much money as someone doesn't mean you're in poverty. You have to live an impoverished life. You know, there are things that, and you're not condemned to live in the projects. Folks tried to make us feel, we lived in the projects for a while in Far Rockaway, and I worked and saved and worked and got promotions and bonuses, and we bought a house out of the projects and out of the quote-unquote hood. And people tried to make us feel badly about that. I didn't feel bad about it at all. You know, so you're leaving your roots. Those aren't my roots. That's where I moved to because that's all I could afford at that time. You know. But then something wonderful happened to me and happened to all of you. I found out that there was a person, Jesus Christ, whom I could receive and allow to become my Lord. And it changed everything. It gave me a new determinism in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. My new favorite translation for this verse is the Wade translation, because it's thorough. It says, so if anyone becomes united with Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions, plural, that's what I like about it. The original conditions have passed away. Mark, they have been replaced with new conditions. So let's forget the word conditions, let's say characteristics. All of the characteristics that were you before Christ have been erased and replaced with new characteristics based on Christ. Every single one. There is not one condition that remained. All of them were replaced. Now, I need to caution us, because just like you put your garbage out and they come and they take your garbage away and take it to a dump, you can go down the dump and look through it. If you decided you will put something in the garbage and wanted it back. When you became in Christ, all of that old stuff was taken away. It says it was passed away. So yes, you can build a time machine and try and go back and find it. You'll just make more problems for yourself. But all of the old principles, all of the old fundamentals that governed and controlled your life have been replaced by new ones. And it's very important to understand that it wasn't some of the old stuff. It was all of it. So you would be telling the truth if someone accused you of something that you did before Christ, and you'd say, I didn't do that. You'd be telling the truth. That was a different person. That was not you. When folks can't, I see some folks that I haven't seen in a while, and you know, they'd say Foots, and I say, actually my name is Gregory. They say, no, but I knew you as Foots. I said, yeah, I know that's how you knew me, but Foots is no more. He said, well, I remember when we used to. I said, no, we didn't do that. And they're looking at me. I said, no, you and Foots did that. Gregory never did that. But there's one constant between the in Christ determinisms and the worldly determinisms. There's something about both of them that are true. In order for them to be effective, you have to know they exist. You have to know what you have because of them. You have to accept them as truth. That's very important. You have to accept them as truth, and once you accept them as truth, then you have to act on them. And if you do that, you're going to have exactly what they say you have, because fundamentals are never confused. They're never confused. Fundamentals aren't impressed with the spectacular. Fundamentals don't care about something's reputation. Fundamentals just work. They do what they do, but you have to stay true to them. And when you start talking to these folks known as super athletes, they always talk about fundamentals. Michael Jordan wrote a book, you know, he said, the name of the book is I Can't Accept Not Trying. That's the name of the book. And in that book he said, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. He said, talent wins games. Fundamentals win championships. Okay, need to think about that. Now, just because you're talented, you may get by, but in the overall game of life, you're going to come up short if you don't operate according to the right set of fundamentals. Do you understand? Okay. Now, in the guide we're using, they don't talk about fundamentals, but they talk about doctrines. and they mean the same thing. It's principles that govern actions and behavior and rules and laws. And I may go back and forth between the two terms. I don't want you to get confused by that, because I like the word fundamentals. I like the word determinism. But the guide uses the word doctrine, and that's okay. I just want you to know it's the same principles. But there's six doctrines that once we're in Christ, there's six doctrines that should govern our behavior. One is the doctrine, it's repentance. Well, you can't get in Christ until you've repented and received him. The second is faith towards God, which again, we're saved by faith. Then we have the doctrine of baptisms. That's not the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of baptisms. You're baptized into Christ. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues. And you're baptized in water to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There's the doctrine of laying on of hands, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. There's the resurrection from the dead. There's resurrection from the dead. It's important. I found it's important to say it like that. The resurrection means there's only one. But there's resurrection from the dead, and then there is eternal judgment. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, the laying on of hands was not just used for healing. You know, in the Old Testament, I think it was used for everything except healing. You know, but when in the Old Testament, the laying on of hands was used to impart blessings. You know, they'd lay hands and impart a blessing. They would lay hands during a worship service. You know, because they would lay hands on you, and I'd lay hands on a goat or a sacrifice, and then I was the channel of all of your imperfections, all of your sins coming through me into the sacrifice. Then the sacrifice was killed, and it wiped away all your sins. Okay, boy, that would do something on this carpet if we had to do that today. Pastor Clinton said this place would be a bloody mess if we had to do blood sacrifices today. You know, but also, you know, all of your imperfections, hands were laid on you to remove all of your imperfections. Hands were laid to set people apart for service, and they still do that in the New Testament. They lay hands on you, and you're set apart for service. So our Bible says don't lay hands on a novice, because if they're not ready for service, don't lay hands on them. Hands were laid on you to put as a place of to put honor on you. So I'm laying my hands on you because you're at a place of honor. You know, so laying on of hands was very important, and it had great meaning, and it was a great honor behind it. When hands were laid on you, it meant something. It still does. We need to understand that. It still means something. Today, through the ordinance of laying on of hands, listen to this, God's power is transmitted by faith through the person laying on of hands to the person that hands have been laid on. And it's something happens, something powerful happens, you know, when hands are laid on that person. And it occurs when you lay your hands in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus, upon whose faith we do the impartation. So it's a matter of impartation. That's why there are sometimes, maybe during a service, I may just feel led, I'll call someone up, I'm just going to impart wisdom. You know, that doesn't happen with me often, But when it happens, you act on it because it's God, and he wants to do something for an individual or a group of individuals. But in the New Testament, the number one reason hands are laid is for healing. That's the number one reason in the New Testament. And I want us to understand that. You know, I think the second reason, I believe, was to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. They always laid hands on folks to help them receive the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, we still do that. I tell the people, I said, look, this is what's going to happen. Tell them, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to ask God for it. And then because we believe we got it, we're going to thank God for it. Then I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to tell a congregation to speak in tongues. Then I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to speak in tongues. I mean, it's just, and that's just the way it happens. But look at Mark 16. Because that's the primary, I call that the primary laying on of hand scripture for the church. Mark 16, verses 16 to 18, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Period. So just like one believes that they can cast out devils, just like one believes they can speak with new tongues, they can take up serpents, they can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt them, they need to believe that they can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Too many church members will encourage someone who's sick to go to church so that their pastor could lay hands on them. Well, let's see, this person is in excruciating pain on Sunday evening. And you have a conversation with them. And say, I'm going to church next Sunday. Why don't you come with me? You know, and the pastor can lay hands on you and you'll be healed. So, okay, so you're going to let them stay in that condition for a week when you have the power to do something about it. You have the power. Because it says believers. It doesn't say super saints. It doesn't say that. It says believers. We're going to look at that in a little in some detail in a minute. Let's see, go to my notes. Okay. So Jesus expects that a believer will lay hands on whoever is sick, and that sick person shall recover. Period. It's important for you to know that. It does not matter what the diagnosis is. Jesus didn't say they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover unless the person was told that their sickness was terminal. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover unless the odds of that person surviving is very low. It doesn't say the sick shall recover unless somebody somewhere was healed by it at least once before. It doesn't give you any of those conditions. You know why? Because fundamentals, the doctors, they don't care. Because they work regardless of anything that's going on. Because God said so. That's the only reason. And you believe it. But this passage in Mark 16, it's telling us some things about the person who's laying their hands on someone. And it's important we understand that. You won't find it in the study guide. This is the Holy Ghost revelation. Right. This is telling us that the hand layer, all right, believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say that because it says, he that believeth. It also says, he that believeth and is baptized. So it's also telling us that this individual identifies with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's telling us that the person laying their hands on someone is blessed. How do you know that? Because the scripture says, he that believeth not shall be damned. So since you believe, you're not damned, what does that leave? Blessed. Okay. You're blessed. It means that they have power over devils. Because it says you will do what to devils? Now, can you cast someone out who you don't have power over? You have to have power over someone in order to cast them out. Otherwise, you'll say, get out, and they'll say, make me. I said, leave now, I'm not ready. No, it said, you shall cast out devils. So that means you have to have power over devils. It means they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it says they shall speak with new tongues. So that means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It means you are aware of the enemy's schemes. Why do you think I said that? It says they shall take up serpents. And I spent some time looking at that. I'm going to combine take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. When it says they shall take up serpents, that was a depiction of picking up snakes and not being harmed by it. And whatever poison you drink, it won't hurt you. But a lot of scholars have said this translation, it includes some idioms, and they say pick up snakes is a picture of overcoming your enemies. I like that one. Okay. In ancient times, the serpent was the emblem of deceptiveness and wisdom. So that verse is saying you will be aware of all the enemy's schemes. You'll pick it up. And drinking poison was a reference to dealing with attacks on your character. In parentheses, it said like poisonous words. So it means you'll deal with things that people try and do to you and things that people try and slander you with. They'll try, it won't work. It won't work. And then it also tells you, the last thing it tells you is wherever they go, people are healed when they lay their hands on them. So just understanding that and knowing that you are a believer, all of these things apply to you. All of them. Because there's no exceptions. There were no exceptions given. Now, conversely, if you're someone in need of having hands laid on you, you need to know the same things about the person laying hands on you. You need to know that who they are and they believe. You need to know that. There's a but there. There's a but that we need to understand. See, when we're talking about believers, that believer has to have something else going for him or her. Faith. Faith. You can believe all that about the person, but you have to believe that once that person lays hands on you, you're going to be healed. Period. And you cannot think or or try and conclude or consider, I wonder how many persons this guy has ever gotten healed. Are they really anointed? Well, you know something? I couldn't find in any translation of Mark 16 that talked about you'd be anointed to do this. How many have an anointing to walk? That's a function of your body. You walk. Raise your hand. Did you feel a special anointing to do that? Then why'd you do it? Go ahead and say it, Jackie. It's a function of the body. Okay? You can raise your hands. You can clap your hands. You can talk. Jesus didn't say, when you feel the anointing, lay hands on the sick. He said, you're a believer, you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Period. Why? It's a function of the body. And all you have to do, just like if you want to walk, all you have to do is get up. You can't walk sitting down. Well, you can if you're doing a duck walk or something like this, but you know what I mean. If it's a function of it's a function of the body. Laying hands on the sick and the sick recovering is a function of the body. You have to know it, you have to believe it, you have to act on it. And you will see the results. Yes, I'm not disregarding special giftings. People have special giftings. But every single believer is gifted to lay hands on the sick. And the sick recover. Period. Just like, you don't have to... Do we have to be anointed to be saved? Do we have to be anointed to be water baptized? Do we have to be anointed to speak in new tongues? Do we have to be anointed to pick up serpents? Do we have to be anointed to drink any deadly thing and it not harm us? So then we don't have to be anointed to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. It's a fundamental function of the body. Period. It's that simple. And we need to keep it simple. There are too many people, they're like the woman with the issue of blood, spending all they have, going around from healing meeting to healing meeting to healing meeting. They want Benny Hinn to lay hands on them. Then they go to a crusade because they hear that Reverend Hagin's going to be there. They want him to lay hands on them. They'll go down to Texas so Kenneth Copeland can lay hands on them. They'll find they'll look around and say, "Well, oh no, well, where's Billy Brim going to be at? Let her lay hands on." You need a believer to lay hands on you, and you will recover. Period. How come when I watch these conventions, I see all these people getting healed? They honestly believe that person laying hands on them they'll receive their healing. They believe that. They're right. There's no extra reflection on the person because their next door neighbor who is a believer could have laid hands on them and gotten the same results. But you don't believe that because that person doesn't have a name. But that's what happens. There are people that don't receive their healing because when hands were laid on them, they didn't fall down. I mean, if falling down, why did anybody have to lay that? Just fall down. Okay. See, that's what we'll do. Instead of having hosts as catchers, we'll have hosts trip you as you're coming up. So you fall down and you get healed. And there are people I've watched. I stand when there's an altar call and I watch, when we start laying hands on people, I look up and I watch and I see people going like this. And usually if two people falls, at least one more person's going to get up and come get online. Because, oh yeah, the anointing's flowing because someone went out under the power. So I'm going. No, we cannot be like that house filled with people. Jesus was there. The Bible says the power to heal was there. No one was healed. Except someone that came, carried by four friends, climbed up, tore the roof off, lowered him down, he was healed. And yet, the house filled with people needing to be healed. Jesus goes to his hometown, healed only a few sick folk. Nothing miraculous, nothing spectacular, nothing happened. And he said he didn't say it was because Jesus wasn't anointed to heal. It says because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They didn't believe Jesus could lay hands on them and they would recover. So guess what? He couldn't. He couldn't. But you determine that. You determine it. I saw something. I'm going to share this now. This made me laugh. It really did. We may not go. I'm not going to stretch out notes and stuff I have to fill a time frame. I'm going to go, and if it's all gone, I'm going to stop. All right. Okay. This was entitled "Laying Hands on Empty Heads," and I'm going to read this. I like this when I was studying this. I'm going to do this. This is like a paper I wrote where I said I'm going to just read it verbatim so I don't miss anything. Brother Hagin said, "I realize that there are unprofitable kind of laying on of hands. There are extremes of it in the church world. One extreme is a mere ritual. There are other churches that have a ritual of laying hands on people to confirm them. According to some church creeds, one receives the Holy Spirit at this time." Okay. "But this is a mere ritual and formality and nothing happens. On the other hand, there have been extremes even in full gospel circles. People have had hands laid on them for nearly everything you could mention and some you couldn't." Listen to this one. "For example, a woman told me," this is Brother Hagin speaking, "a woman told me that she went to a meeting where hands were laid on her. She was prophesied over, and she supposedly was given the gift of casting out permanent waves." I should have asked her to use that gift on me. "I told her if she could have gotten the gift of putting them in, she would have something." "One man came up to me after service," this is 22, "years ago and asked, 'Brother Hagin, could you help me?' I said, 'I'll be glad to if I can.' He told me he had been in a meeting where someone laid hands on him and gave him the gifts of healing, the gift of the word of knowledge, and two or three other spiritual gifts. He said, 'I can see that these things are manifested in your ministry. Maybe you could tell me how to operate them.' I know I've got them because the fellow said I did. I asked, 'How long has it been since hands were laid on you?' 'Well,' he said, 'over 6 months ago.' I said, 'Has there ever been any kind of manifestation?' 'Not that I know of,' he replied. I said, I'd forget it if I were you. You don't have anything. If it's there, it would rise to the surface. And he tells of a lady that said that hands were laid on her, and she was given the gift of rocking. And that was, she would get in the service, and who's ever ministering is to look at her, and if she's rocking, it means the anointing's really on her. I mean, all kinds of silliness. And what happens, and the reason, I guess the reason the devil, you know, puts people up to stuff like that is he tries to cheapen, you know, tries to taint that which is real and cause people to think this is phony. That's, you know, I would wonder why we'd always hear these scandals about people that aren't doing it right. Amen. Well, it's orchestrated by the enemy to cheapen that which is real. Yeah. So he gives people a counterfeit. That's why they have some folks that, you know, put in fake stuff in their eyes and all of this. And, you know, well, we need to understand. That's why the Bible says, try the Spirit, by the Spirit, to be if it's of God. Because there's some out there that are not real. You know, they see the value, and they figure, okay, let me put on a show here, and then collect some money. Yeah, and pay me so I can receive this gift. But we have to understand that the laying on of hands, especially for healing, since that's what we're talking about, it's real, and it's not something to be trifled with. You know, when I see children doing it after a healing service or something, they're not playing, they're not mocking, they're imitating, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They're used to doing it. They're feeling very comfortable doing it. But it has to be real. We need to understand we're a New Testament church. And as a New Testament church, we have to follow the instructions, the commission given to us in Mark 16. And part of that is you lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. But if we don't believe that we can, then we won't. And you know me, I try and make things as uncomplicated as I can, because God's really not complicated. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And I believe what he says. And so I do what he says. I mean, so if he says lay hands, I lay hands. And I remember the very first time, it's in the sanctuary. And God told me that people with pains in their hips. And so that's what I said. And folks came down, and some I laid hands on, and one lady came down. And I didn't see her when she came down. She was just standing in line. And I looked at her, and I went to lay hands on her, and the Holy Ghost stopped me. And I was wondering why. I said, I'm only laying hands on her head. You know, what? And he said, one of her legs is shorter than the other. And I was surprised that it didn't throw me. I really was, because I was just gone, so to speak. I was caught with that. I wasn't myself. I was just in the spirit. And I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, get a chair, tell her to sit down. So I said, get a chair, have her sit down. And he said, tell her, put her legs out. We put her legs out, and one was about that much shorter than the other. And so I just picked up ankle, and Deacon Alice was standing off to the side. And I just picked up her, and before I could say anything, I picked up her ankle, and the leg just came out. I thought Deacon Alice was going to pass out. Because she went, ah! You know. And I just said, now stand up and walk around. And she went and she walked around. And I just moved on. Then later on, about 5-6 hours later, after napping, I woke up, I'm like, what happened? what was that? Then I'm trying, what was I feeling when that happened? I wasn't feeling anything. It was just as natural, just like I'm talking to you right now. The way I feel right now is the way I felt then. Because what was going on? A believer was laying hands on the sick. And the sick recovered. It's just that simple. That's why, I unless God tells me about a particular condition, as a general rule, I don't ask people what's going on in their body. And the reason I do it, I don't want to take a chance that I get over in unbelief. I don't want to say, wow. And the other reason is that it doesn't matter. Because our instructions from Jesus is, you lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So it doesn't matter what it is they have to recover from. So since it doesn't matter, I don't need to know. You could tell me after. If God impresses me to call up and tell us what God did and you tell us what it is, that's fine. Now, sometimes God may give a specific condition, and sometimes he won't. But we need to understand that whether he gives a specific condition or not, he doesn't have to. A believer can decide. I can decide at any time after service, okay, is there anybody here sick? Come, I'm going to lay hands on you. Why can I do that? I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Now, there are times God will speak to me, and you've all probably been in service when that's happened. This past Sunday in Pennsylvania, I tried to close 6 times. I guess it was about 6 times, right? And I didn't know why I couldn't. And then it got through. There are people here that need healing. And what were there, about 6 or 7? 7 people. Well, I did, and they didn't want to come at first. And you know what I did? I said, look, I'll go sit down and wait. But I'm not moving. Because God said so. I was trying to close and go home. But 7 people came and 7 people got healed. Not because I'm super saint, because I'm a believer with hands. So what if I don't have hands? Yeah, like Nick Vujicic. Okay, then you lay on them what you have and they'll recover. Because it's the same faith that's involved. So I encourage you. Know that you believe in Christ, that he's the Son of the living God. Know that you have identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You did at the water baptism. You believe, so you're not damned, you're blessed. You have power over devils. We have to stop there a moment. Because too many believers are afraid of devils and evil spirits. You know, you bring them someone, you need to go somebody. You can't go to the Yellow Pages and find out a devil cast outer. But you should be able to go to any church where there's believers and they cast out devils. And folks, it does not have to be a ritual. Jesus never made a ritual. Jesus said, come out of them. That's what he said. Come out of them. One time he asked his name. What's your name? he was proving a point to the people. Because I think that devil thought that he could intimidate Jesus. So my name is Legion, for we are many. Some translations say there are thousands of us in here. Jesus wasn't moved. He didn't say, I said, come out. Come out. Please don't cast us out of the region. Jesus didn't say, well, where do you want to go? He said, no, send us into the pigs. So they spoke their own destiny. Okay, go. But he didn't make a ritual out of anything. He did what Father told him to do. Period. And he walked by some folk. I mean, I like the one with the blind man. One of the blind men wasn't there for healing. But he saw the person blind and he healed him. How many people do we walk by every day that are infirmed, visibly infirmed? How many do we stop and say to them, you know, Deacon Phyllis and I wanted to go to Walmart. Well, we wanted to go to a good Walmart. We didn't want to go to the one local. And so we looked, and the next closest one was like 23 miles away. So we said, oh, let's take a ride. So we go in this Walmart. Now, we had to return something. Go to the return line, and it's a zoo, the return line. And I'm like, why did we come here? And Deacon Phillips said, well, I'm going to go walk around shopping. Like, right, leave me here online. There was a lady in the next line. All of this foul language is coming out of her mouth towards the salesperson and anybody else that worked in Walmart. Because whatever she got, you know, didn't work, or she was having issues, return, whatever the reason was. And I'm standing there and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, Lord, please let someone help her so I don't have to stand and listen to this. And I'm like, Lord, you know what? I'm leaving. I've had enough. And at that point, the Holy Ghost said to me, she's got a medical issue, and that's why she's frustrated like this. She's very uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks for the info. He says, well, you know what you have to do. I said, what I have to do? I said, Phyllis isn't here. She said, well, you know where she is. He said, I want you to lay hands on her. And she will recover. I'm like, okay, I never once thought there's something physically bothering this woman. My thoughts were, she just mean. You know, I'm just being honest with you. We have to be mindful how we think about people because we don't know what they're going through. This woman was in a lot of pain. She was diagnosed with cancer, and her body was racked with pain. I didn't know that then. So I went, I said, okay, I have to see where this woman goes in the store because she left before I did. I said, I don't want her to think I'm stalking her, you know. And then I'm looking for Deacon Phyllis. I see Deacon Phyllis, and I go and tell her. And she said, okay. I said, because I don't want to just walk up on this woman, you know. And so we walked up to her, and she's looking, and she's recognizing me for being online. And she's like, I apologize for the way I spoke my language. I said, no, it's okay. I said, my name is Pastor Greg. And why did I say that? She's like, oh, no, Lord, I was cursed. I said, no, it's... I said, it's okay. It's okay. I said, if it wasn't okay, I wouldn't be standing here. I said, it's okay. I said, but we came over because God told us you needed to be healed, so we're going to lay our hands on you. If you don't mind, we're going to lay our hands on you, and you're going to be healed. She broke down and started crying. And told us about her diagnosis and all of that. And I said, well, doesn't matter. We're believers. Believers can lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. We're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to recover. And she said, would you please? Because I'm in so much pain. And we laid hands on her. She didn't fall out on the ground. You know, nobody to catch her anyway. But we laid hands on her, and she screamed. She was like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." In Walmart. I said, "Well, how do you feel?" She said, "I feel great." She said, "Oh, thank you." I said, "No, don't thank us. Thank God." And I told her, we came from 23 miles away here. Here. It makes no sense. Why are you going to go to I could see if you're going to a different Walmart to buy something. But to return something? No, that was what we call a divine appointment, where all we had to do was go and lay hands on the person. We have to be sensitive, folks, to people. I believe that we should be able to walk past a person and know something's going on with them. And stop. Said, "You mind if I pray with you and lay hands on you for healing?" They probably wonder, how did they know that I was sick? But we're believers. That's what we do. We don't have to be super saint. We don't have to feel a special anointing to do it. We wait and see, do I feel a tingling in my stomach? No, you don't need to feel a tingling in your stomach. You need to remember who you are and remember what our commission is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow, because the signs confirm every word that you said. Period. We told the woman, God sent us here. We're going to lay hands on you, and you will recover. We laid hands on her. She recovered. Done. We didn't say that we didn't want her name. We didn't want her address. We weren't going to become best friends. You know, no, she was someone in need of healing, was probably praying to God for healing, and he directed us to that store. Folks, we talk about our steps being ordered. So if we really believe our steps are ordered, when we find ourselves someplace, we need to find out why we're there. Because most of the time, it's not just for our own enjoyment. Sometimes it's a purpose. Dean Phil said that we don't go anywhere. We go to a restaurant to eat. Well, all right, Lord, is there someone in here that you want us to bless? Is there someone here you want us to pray with? Whatever it is, we're looking at. Sometimes he lets us just enjoy one another's company. Other times he still lets us enjoy one another's company, but then he's, before you leave, pay this person's check. Go speak to that. We do whatever he tells us to do. And we don't concern ourselves with the outcome, because the outcome is not our responsibility. My the minute my hand makes contact with that individual, my responsibility is finished. It's finished. Everything else is between you and God. You have to believe that power went into you, and you have to believe that it did what it was went into you to do. It's really that simple. So the laying on of hands, you know, it's a doctrine. I say it's a fundamental. You know, it's part of our in Christ determination. That means it's part of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we should go at everything that the Bible says we are. I think we should go after, because that's who we are. And that's what the world is waiting for. The world wants to know that the church is real. Or I should say that what's taught in the church is real. And that the people teaching and the people that are members are real. And they believe it. Well, one of the issues with the quote-unquote millennials and their attitude toward Christ is that they've watched adults in their life struggle with health issues and medical issues and emotional issues unsuccessfully. And it causes them to wonder, is all this true? They're listening to what's being taught in church, and they're seeing what's happening at home. They're not looking at, well, are these people doing what was taught in church? All they do is they hear a person say, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God, and they don't see them getting better. But they see them getting worse. That's why it's important for us as believers to be obedient. And as I shared on one of these sessions, obedience is key to our healing. There are times when Jesus just gave people instructions. Like he told a blind man when he put clay on his eye, he said, go wash in the pool. He didn't say, go wash in the pool and come back seeing. He just said, go wash in the pool. Guy could have got upset. You put spit and dirt on my eyes and you're going to tell me to go and wash? And if he stood, just think about it. If he stood right there and just wiped the stuff off his eyes, he'd have remained blind. But he had to follow some instructions. We have to follow some instructions. So we're believers. We lay hands on the sick. And what do the sick do? Period. Period. You don't have to have a special anointing. You don't have to feel, get that fluttery feeling in your stomach. Your hands don't have to tingle. Sometimes things like that happen. I looked at my hands one day and they were beet red during a service. I'm like, Lord, what is this? I've never seen this before. And he said that time, he said, there's a special healing anointing on you. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with it? Okay, I'm standing in front of the people having this conversation because I'm looking down at my hands. I'm like, what is this? And so we stopped right there. And he didn't say at the end of service. So it wasn't the end. So it stopped the service. And we did it. I mean, that's what happened. One time I was speaking, I think I was doing pastoral announcements or something, and I was standing there, I'm like, who is that? And they said, what? I said, there's somebody in here, and you're in intense pain. I think it was in a shoulder or something, and it turned out to be Marie. She was standing right at the end of the aisle. As soon as I walked past her, it's like something stabbed me in the shoulder. I'm like, what is that? Well, I had a sensitivity. And so I said, all right, who? She told me, we laid hands on her, and that was that. Then I went right back to it. See, so I've purposed, I understand protocol and things, but because I understand protocol, I've decided to go with God's. And if he wants me to lay hands on someone in the middle of the message, guess what we're going to do? We're going to stop, and we're going to lay hands, period. And that's what you, wherever you be driving, go down the street, drive past somebody, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says to you, stop. It's like, okay, Lord, where are they? It's like, sometimes, I'll say something, and I'll let you go. We have a couple of minutes. But, sometimes when I want to just unwind or laugh or something, I watch some of these, what I call cool reality shows, like Pastor Ed watched it too. I watch like Northwood's Law, or that's about game wardens, kind of like cops, only it's game wardens. And have some same thing with Alaska, and there's another one called Parking Wars, where they follow ticket agents and truck car booters and things in Detroit and Pennsylvania, and I look at those. And I look at what people go through, and it's like, okay, there's a sign there that says no standing. And the person says, I wasn't standing, I was parking. Why am I telling you that? We need to know the rules. We need to understand the signs, okay? Because Jesus said these signs shall follow. We need to know what each one means, and we need to obey them. So if Jesus says one of these signs that will follow believers is the believer will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover, and you have hands, and you're a believer, lay hands. Just lay hands. Don't think about it. Like the Nike commercial, just do it. Amen? Amen. There's another part to this, but whoever's doing next Wednesday, I guess we'll cover that part. If not, next time I'm here, I'll cover it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.